If you would this morning, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'd like to speak on the thought of holiness or sanctification, and those, at least I believe, are interchangeable terms. And specifically regarding holiness, I'd like to talk about how holiness in our lives is a cooperative effort. Amen? It takes two. There's no doubt it takes the Lord. Holiness is not something that we can attain by ourselves, but it also requires that we cooperate with the Lord Jesus Christ. Reading our text from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, the Bible says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete." Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you so much for the goodness and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the eternal hope that is within us that we will see you someday. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have, Lord, to look to the word of God for strength and encouragement. May you speak to us through your word today. Send your anointing upon this speaker, upon every hearer. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The blessed hope of the church is what we've actually have been celebrating this entire service, that being someday we're going to see Jesus Christ face to face. And we think of all the things that go along with that. We think about how all tears will be wiped away from our eyes, how they'll be eternal peace, how there'll be rest from our labors, how we will see loved ones who have gone on before us, how we'll behold Jesus and his fullness and his glory. The list goes on and on. I'm sure I'm leaving a lot of things out because the Bible tells us, "Eye has not seen or ear heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him." What a great day that will be. And that should always be in our hearts and minds. It's an important part of who we are. It's an important part of our witness and our testimony. But it's also important because it helps us walk closely with Jesus. It helps us to maintain our faith in God that someday we're going to see him. That this life is not all it. There's a much better life, an infinitely better life that awaits for us. Praise God. And you can, amen. I'm glad you said amen to that. But dare I say, and you're free to disagree with me this morning, dare I say to keep our faith in Jesus, we need more than that. In fact, and I'm just speaking for myself, I need to know that I'm going to see Jesus, and I do know that. That's part of my testimony. In fact, at Power of One, I'm going to very briefly just share my testimony about my journey through cancer and how God brought me through. But when you face death, if you know Jesus, a big part of my testimony is this. You do not fear death. Death, as the old country song, maybe Henry will sing it next week. Death ain't no big deal. You know that one, Roseanne, don't you? Amen. But we also need the abiding presence. I need to know that God is with me. I need the presence of God in my life. I need his comfort. I need his joy. I need his peace. I need his strength. I stand before you a weak man in and of myself. It's only through God. This mic's a little hot, honey. Or I'm a little loud. Why are you all laughing? And I think I'm right in feeling this way. And if you don't feel like you're anything without Jesus, you're exactly where you're supposed to be because you're not. One of the, I hate to use the word ingredient, but it's the only word that's coming to mind this morning at this moment. One of the ingredients or things that we need to discern. Now God is let me take a step back. God is everywhere, and no matter where you are, and the wonderful thing about knowing Jesus, whatever situation or circumstance you might be going through, whether it's facing death, or you can be in the midst of a situation where there's all kinds of sin going on around you, if you know Jesus, you can sense the presence of God real and powerful in your life, no matter where you are and no matter what's going on around you. All that is required of us is actually two things, and it's listed for us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It's one of my favorite verses, or one that I quote often, so you probably have memorized it by just listening. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see God. Not the focus of the message this morning, but one thing that needs to be mentioned. We cannot expect to discern. What we're talking about, God is everywhere, but discerning God's presence. Oh, hallelujah. Feeling His might, power, His love, His goodness in your heart. Comes when we live at peace with one another, follow peace with all men. But secondly, holiness. We cannot expect to experience the fullness of the blessing of God that we can experience this side of heaven without being a people who are holy, or people that, as the title of our message shares, are sanctified. Without holiness, it is impossible to see God. That's why this morning I think there are so many people who struggle in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, dare I say, there are two approaches from a pastoral point of view, two approaches to helping people walk closely with Jesus, and that's, you know, when we come together, whether it be, you know, a Sunday morning service or a Bible study or a gathering, to try to whip people up emotionally. And you can do that. You can get people excited about something. A lot of people will get excited later today if they're attending a football game because, you know, their team is playing and everybody's there. And there's something about the dynamic of a crowd and cheering that gets people going. And in some, not all, but some churches have adopted that philosophy to encourage people. Let's just kind of whip people up emotionally. Well, that might get people stirred for a time, but emotions only last so long. In fact, I find in my own life, when I'm kind of psyched up emotionally, that high lasts for a while, but once that emotional high is gone, there's a crash. But there's a spiritual high that only comes through the path of holiness, that there's no crash from, because the well that comes from is a well that never runs dry. The Lord Jesus Christ, the ministry of His Holy Spirit. And it comes through holiness. The only problem about holiness or being sanctified is that it is an impossible thing to do by ourselves, to live completely separated from the ungodly things of the world and completely separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I stand before you today preaching, imploring you to do something impossible. But I thank God, because we're people of faith, even though with you and me and every other living human individual, it is impossible. What does the Bible say? With God, Jesus Himself said it, with God all things are what? Possible. Amen. You folks are awake on the early morning service. But God is more than able. In fact, you are sanctified when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The shed blood of Jesus, when applied to your life through faith, takes away each and every one of your sins forever. But the abiding in that holiness or that sanctification is a work only happens when the Holy Spirit works in your life as far as becoming whom God has called us to be. We can't do it by ourselves. The change that we want comes through the power of God. But just like everything else as it relates to our relation with the Lord Jesus Christ, it requires our cooperation. Holiness is a cooperative work in God's Holy Spirit and our spirit, our will. I think the first question that we need to ask ourselves this morning is, what actually is sanctification? And you know, when we think of being sanctified or being holy, we think of the don'ts. You know, that we don't do things. And that's true. I don't want to minimize the don'ts. You know, if you know Jesus, if you're holy, you don't lie anymore. You don't cheat anymore. You don't steal anymore. You know, all these different things that we don't do. We honor God. We love God. We don't have idols. But sanctification is more than sinlessness or being separated away from sinful things and unclean things. Now, before I say that, let me tell you what holiness is not. Holiness is not separating ourselves from having a good time. You can be holy and have fun. In fact, Cindy, last week's testimony, you mentioned how Ecclesiastes, there's a time to laugh and there's a time to cry. There's nothing wrong with going out and having a good time as long as it's a wholesome time. Old days of Pentecost, if it was fun, it must be sin. But holiness is more than separation from sin. Reading 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Two aspects of holiness. One is separation. Separation from those things which are ungodly, unclean. But along with separation is service. Holiness means being sanctified for service. The idea in this scripture that we just read is, you know, two types of dinnerware or, you know, silverware. You got your common everyday dishes, your paper plates, you know, they may have a chip in them, maybe not. But then you have your fine china that you only use on special occasions with special guests. How come I can't, you know? And if you have fine china, you know, if your kid grabs it to put some Cheetos on or something. No, we don't use that. We only use that for special occasion. Holiness not only means we're separated from sin. Holiness also means we have now the privilege to serve God. Without holiness, you can't serve God. Holiness by declaration, we're holy when we're saved. And holiness by walking in the new life that God has given us. So it is the privilege of servants. Hallelujah. Who has been called to bring this gospel message to the world? It's you and me. You are holy. That's why we call ourselves saints. It means literally holy one. Now some may say, and because they understand of the meritlessness of grace, in that God accepts us as we are, that yes, I can change, and yes, I can be holy. Why should I? Well, the answer is this. In fact, there's a multitude of reasons why we must be sanctified. Primarily, which is this, it pleases God, or it's the will of God that we become sanctified, that we become more like Jesus, that we be separated from the unclean things of the world, and that we be used by God to preach this gospel. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, reading, it is written, be holy or be sanctified because I am holy. Sanctification is necessary because it removes the veil of sin from our eyes that we can see Jesus. We've talked about this at the beginning of the message, but it bears being mentioned again. You can't see Jesus unless you're living holy. And you need to see Jesus each and every day. Matthew 5, verse 8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure," or the holy, or the sanctified in heart, for they will see God. Thirdly, sanctification authenticates, not only enables and authenticates our witness. A person who has no discernible change in their life is an ineffective witness. Amen? Someone who lives like the world, talks like the world, acts like the world, is not someone who's fit to be a vessel of God's glory and honor. Once again, 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21, large house, there are articles. I think this describes the church very well, to our shame. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, honorable, sanctified vessels, but also of wood and clay, common, nothing discernible about them. Some are for special purposes, the work of God, and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter, everyone has the potential to be gold or silver. Those who cleanse themselves, again, putting the responsibility on us, as well as the Lord, from the latter, will be instruments for special purposes, made holy and useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. You want to be, anyone can go out and witness. Anyone can play the game and teach Sunday school or, you know, lead a song service or preach a sermon, be a pastor of a church. But to be an anointed minister of the gospel, remember God's will is that all of us be anointed. Amen? The Spirit of God is upon us. We are a kingdom of priests, anointed ones, saints. In order for us to move and operate under the power of the Holy Ghost, we must be people who walk in holiness, mind, body, spirit. In fact, the only way anyone, either in the church or outside of the church, will take you seriously, walk in holiness, or allowing the process, working on the process of sanctification in your life. And lastly, this isn't the last part of my message. I got time. Lastly, it is important that we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, become sanctified for our own spiritual self-esteem. Let me tell you, the person who chooses not to allow God transform your life, and I don't mean miserable from my point, outside point, I'm talking about in your heart, because you're not whom God, and you're not progressing towards the person that God wants. And it is a process. You know, in saying this, God doesn't expect us to be perfect, and so I hope no one misunderstands what we're talking about. Sanctification is a process, becoming like Jesus, becoming more holy each and every day. It's a lifetime job, so don't get hung up if all of a sudden something slips. You know, but when we are cooperating with God, working with His Holy Spirit on that process in our lives, we feel good about ourselves. Don't you want to feel good about yourself as a believer, a good child of God? Jesus saying in John chapter 13, verse 17, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And one of the blessings that goes along with working cooperatively with the Holy Spirit in the process of sanctification is you feel good about yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. That's healthy. That's good. I remember when I had put on a lot of weight and I worked hard on taking that weight off and I fit into an old suit that I hadn't worn in years. I felt good about it, and there was nothing wrong with feeling good about that. Such it is when we're progressing about God. It makes you feel good about allowing the Holy Spirit to work with you. So how do we then cooperate with God? How is this process? What is our role in this process of becoming more like Jesus or becoming holy? In our text, if I could read it again, tells us that it's a discipline of the mind. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. In this short passage of Scripture is listed or put out for us our greatest spiritual battle. A lot of times we read this and we quote especially verse 4, the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of the world, as it regard in relation with our contention with the enemy, and we do contend with the enemy. There's spiritual warfare going all around us, and we read about in Ephesians chapter 6 what it is and how to defeat it. How to stand, actually, is the word, if I use the word that Ephesians 6. But the greater battle that we wage as believers is the battle with ourselves, specifically our minds. Because you know just as well as I know, just as well as Jesus knows, that sanctification doesn't mean just doing the right thing. It means being the right thing from the inside out. It's not being someone who is just greedy and grabbing money. It's someone who's not envious. Someone who's not out sleeping around. It's not only someone who's not out sleeping around with people who aren't their spouses. It's people don't lust in their heart. It's people who don't go out. It's not just people who don't go out and hurt and maim, but it's also people who have no hatred. You see what? You understand what holiness is. It's like the word, you know, the word of God. It's the heart. We battle things in the mind. We battle temptation. We battle deceit in our mind, things that would persuade us away from Jesus. We battle doubt and fear. And what I love about this scripture is that it gives us insight as far as the dynamics of this battle. And, you know, today, as it always was, pretty much always was in battle, except for very primitive battles, but there's more than just one type of soldier who is against us. You know, today, and I'm not, I haven't served in the military, and I'm not someone skilled in, you know, whoever that famous guy, Book of War, Sun Tzu, or, but, you know, an effective war doesn't just have infantry. It has, you know, the artillery, it has air, it has water. There are multiple fronts, and there's multiple fronts to the battle of our minds, and I'm not talking about Satan today, although that's a very real, I'm talking about ourselves, and we always think about our flesh, or the desire within us to do that which is evil, or embrace that which is evil, but this scripture is giving us more than that. It says we don't just struggle with the flesh, or the desire, lust, the desire to do evil. We also struggle with human reasoning or logic, human logic, which is not good logic, at least not all the time. Verse 5, we demolish arguments. Let me tell you what will lead you down the path of sin. It's not just a desire to sin, you know, to have or to do something that you shouldn't. It's also your mind, which looks for a way to reason why it's okay for you to sin. Case in point, you work at a job and you know, you come in late and you might have the ability where you write in your time, and instead of punching a clock, you know, there's no deceit when you got a time clock. And you come in late, but you can reason to yourself, you know, I come in a half hour, but, you know, last week I worked an extra half hour, you know, I came in earlier, I stayed late and I didn't get paid for it. Well, you know, I can just lie on my timesheet and say that I came in on time, even though I didn't. I don't want to get in trouble. You know, your real reason, you don't want to get in trouble. But the other reason, you rationalize it in your mind. You make it okay because, you know, you've done extra things to justify your lie. Let's call it what it is. You write down something that you did not do, that's called a lie, and that's sin. Human reasoning is one of our worst enemies because it seeks to justify sinful behavior and make it seem like it's okay. Right along with that is every pretense, every pretension, as it's mentioned there in verse 5, or every high thing. You know, there's only one way to eternal life, and there's only one way to live, and that's God's way. But let me tell you, there are a lot of high and lofty sounding ways that might try to make it seem easier or better to find God. And some of these things have even crept into some churches. There are some churches that don't preach the gospel because they have a higher, more enlightened view of the Word of God. I'm talking about churches that don't believe in repentance, that believe in universal salvation. They might use lofty words and things, and it sounds so good and it sounds so easy, but it's a high, a high thing that, promises a lot. It doesn't just give little, it gives death, the mind. How do we overcome the mind? Not only lust, the desire to sin, but human reasoning and these high, pretentious things. Well, number one, we need to heed the personal call to be holy. And I'm not just saying 1 Peter 1:16, which is more than enough. Be holy, for I am holy. And I'm close to wrapping it up. Actually, I'm not. But 2 Corinthians 6:16 through 18, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Talking about being sanctified, which means we don't serve money, we don't serve pleasure, we serve God now. As God has said, this is the key verse in this. As God has said in this point, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. What is that saying? It's saying what we've been talking about this entire sermon, that God is with us. Emmanuel, one of the great messages of Jesus, and he's not just there as a silent partner. He's walking with us. Wherever you go, Psalm 139 says, even if you go to the depths of hell, I am there. Where can I go from your spirit? You can't. But not only is he walking with us, as the old hymn, maybe you'll sing it next week. He walks with us. And he what? Talks with us. Come out from among them and be ye separate. God is calling. He's speaking to you right now. Be separate from those unclean things and be separated unto me for service. He says that through the Word. He says that through our renewed conscience when you come to Christ. One of the regenerating works of the Holy Spirit is reviving not only your peace and your joy, but your conscience or sense of holiness and righteousness. He speaks it loudly through the still small voice of his Holy Spirit. Will we heed? Will we yield? Henry, if you would come. Last scripture today. 1 Corinthians 9:26 and 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body, make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. I regret that I'm not able to take adequate time to talk about this. This is very, very important. But let me just say this regarding this portion of Scripture. In order for us to be holy, we need to cooperate with God's Holy Spirit by not only listening, Word, conscience, still small voice of the Spirit, but taking control of our minds. The battles in the How many here, don't raise your hand, how many here ever let your mind wander? We all do. The thing about a wandering mind, sometimes it wanders where it doesn't. What do we do with our spirit and our mind when our mind wanders where it shouldn't? Do we say, stop? Stop, get back here. Paul says, I beat my body into submission. And didn't mean he went out and beat his back or when he thought something, cattle prod. He kept it under control. He refused to go to those places that his mind wanted to wander. Listen, the Holy Spirit will call, and the Holy Spirit will empower you not to go where you need not go. But you got to be willing. You've got to exercise that authority over your mind and say, I choose not to go where my mind does not belong, in Jesus' name.